Welcome to Season 2 of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen's Podcast. Every day, the California Cattlemen's Association is sorting through the issues impacting California's ranching families and producers. To communicate those issues, discuss solutions, and keep ranchers current on the hot topics, CCA leadership developed this podcast. Episode 20 of Sorting Pen is here, and it's going to be a good one. Whether you've listened to one episode or just a few, or you've downloaded every single one of them, thank you for listening, and I hope you're finding these conversations helpful and maybe just a little bit of fun to listen to as well. Again, if you have recommendations or something you want to hear about, please contact me, call the office, email me, whichever way is easiest for you. I'd love to hear them. For this episode today, I've got Kirk Wilbur, CCA's Vice President of Government Affairs, joining me here in just a little bit, talking about one big win for CCA and all of California's ranching community. And that's already happened in this legislative session. So stay tuned for that in just a minute. Before we talk about that, I want to talk about some of the other positive movements happening in Sacramento. I know some of you are probably thinking positive movements in Sacramento sounds a little bit like an oxymoron. If you're being a little bit skeptical about anything good happening in Sacramento right now, Kirk and I are hopefully going to change your mind about that by the time this episode's over. Before Kirk joins me, I just wanted to touch on two other highlights happening at CCA and in the industry. This week, we're happy and excited to have a new member of the team joining the California Cattlemen's Foundation staff. Her name is Lindsay. She comes from Assemblymember Megan Dolly's office and is going to use her experience there and her previous background to advocate on behalf of ranchers in California. So hopefully that's you listening. Specifically, as a public policy advocate for the foundation, Lindsay's charged with the task of educating state and federal policymakers. Some of the education she's going to be talking to them about and doing is going to be on the environmental benefits, nutritional contributions, and economics of cattle grazing and beef production. And while she's also going to be advancing the policy priorities of ranchers before state and federal policymakers. The work Lindsay will be doing does receive support from the California Cattle Council. If you're interested in more that they're doing, go visit their website. Lindsay, welcome to the team, and I look forward to having you on an episode soon to learn more about you and the important work that you're going to be doing in the coming months and weeks. Another positive that I wanted to share before we get into this episode is earlier this month, a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals handed down a significant victory for public lands grazing, finding that in favor of CCA and several Stanislaus National Forest grazing permittees in an appeal brought by the Central Sierra Environmental Resources Center. I think, because I don't know much about this, that this is a good time to welcome Kirk to the podcast to tell us a little bit about it. Kirk, thanks for joining me. Can you tell us a little bit about this victory? I know when you got the email a few Fridays ago, you were a little surprised by it because it's something that's kind of a blast from the past took place.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me back on the podcast, Katie. You're right that I wasn't quite expecting the timing of that email announcing our victory. The victory itself isn't all that surprising, but this case was first initiated in the trial court back in 2017. The ranchers at the Stanislaus National Forest and the forest itself actually won that litigation shortly thereafter, and it was appealed to the Ninth Circuit by CSERC in 2019 and argued before the Ninth Circuit by our attorneys at the Western Resources Legal Center and Baker Botts back in October of 2020. So it had kind of been just sitting on the docket at the Ninth Circuit for some time, and we hadn't heard any indication that a opinion was forthcoming from the court. And then suddenly, a couple Fridays ago, I got the notice and the opinion that we had won the lawsuit. By way of background, CSERC had alleged some violations of the Clean Water Act and California's Porter-Cologne Water Quality Control Act, as well as some standards and guides related to grazing on the Forest Service allotments. Essentially, what the trial court found and what the Ninth Circuit Court upheld was those are aspirational goals of the federal government and of the state government, for that matter. They are not themselves self-executing standards. So the suggestion that they may have been violated does not mean that grazing can't continue on those allotments. It just gives the federal government additional management discretion on those allotments that they can utilize to try to achieve those aspirational standards. So bottom line is they found there is no reason to reject grazing on those three federal allotments. And that's useful not just to those individual permittees on the Stanislaus, but also to ranchers throughout the West, because it cuts off one additional avenue for litigation to stop grazing on federal lands by groups like CSERC.
Great news. I'm glad that we got that included at the beginning of this episode. Kirk, thanks for spending a few minutes on it. If you want to read more about that lawsuit and what we are talking about here, check out the April editions of Legislative Bulletin. That's our Monday newsletter that goes out and has updates on all sorts of things, not just legislation. But go read that on calcattlemen.org, and be sure to subscribe if you're not already getting those emails. Another bill that we've been providing updates on in Legislative Bulletin that's caused a little bit of drama in Sacramento lately, it's Assembly Bill 2764, which would have prohibited the creation or expansion of commercial animal feeding operations, also known as CAFOs, with annual revenues of over $100,000. The legislation was sponsored by the radical animal rights group Direct Action Everywhere, also known as DXC. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs, or maybe you're a Timberwolves fan, you may be familiar with them as they protested a few of those playoff games. We're not going to get into that, but you may be familiar with them just from watching those games. But if this is the first time you've heard of that group, I encourage you to go back and listen to a previous episode from season 2 of Sorting Pin. This is an episode where I talk with Hannah Thompson-Weeman from the Animal Ag Alliance. We talk about extreme animal activism in California, and DXC is one of the groups we talk about. Getting back into the bill, Kirk, tell us about what this bill is. I know you've been working on it for months now. Tell us what the bill is, and then maybe let's highlight some of the groups other than DXC that were involved in it.
Thanks, Katie. So Assembly Bill 2764 was introduced by Assemblymember Adrian Nazarian back in February. Nazarian is a legislator that we've butted heads with on a number of occasions because he tends to introduce some pretty anti-animal agriculture legislation. And I think we're going to talk about one more of those later in the podcast. This bill was sponsored by Direct Action Everywhere, as you noted. Another sponsor for the bill was a group called Compassionate Bay, which I wasn't familiar with prior to this legislation, and some of our listeners may not be aware of. But they're another animal rights group formed in the Bay Area in 2017. They've worked on what they call environmental and animal-friendly legislation in the state of California since 2017. Primarily, they've been responsible for some anti-animal ag ordinances in Bay Area communities like Berkeley and San Francisco. In addition to those two sponsors of the bill, and you talked a little bit about Direct Action Everywhere, and we can get into them a little bit more later on in the podcast. This bill was sponsored by a number of other animal rights groups. PETA, of course, is one that our listeners are going to be familiar with. Social Compassion and Legislation is another active lobbying group here in Sacramento that supported the legislation. They have also engaged on a lot of anti-animal agriculture legislation in the state of California. So those were folks that were supporting the bill. As it was initially introduced back in February, the bill, as you mentioned, would have prohibited the creation or expansion of any CAFO with annual revenues more than $100,000 per year. As originally introduced, it also would have prohibited the creation or expansion of any slaughterhouse with more than $100,000 of revenue in a year. That's an extremely low number. You basically can't be commercially viable if you're making less than or taking in less than $100,000 per year. So we understood this to be an outright ban on the creation of any new or the expansion of any additional capacity in CAFOs or slaughterhouses. That slaughterhouse piece was taken out after some significant backlash from labor groups, as well as animal agriculture groups like CCA and others. But it remained a bill that sought to get rid of any new CAFO development in the state of California. That was troubling to us for a number of reasons, the most significant of which I think is there's been a significant supply chain crunch in recent years due to COVID-19 and a number of other issues, and it's resulted in heightened beef prices for consumers and a lack of capacity really at every sector of the industry.
Yeah, just a mess in general.
Yeah,
I feel like the last 2 years.
Just a mess in general. So what you actually see right now happening at the federal and state level is the Biden-Harris administration is trying to get funding out the door to improve capacity in slaughtering facilities and every other sector of the beef industry, as well as various other industries. The Newsom administration likewise is trying to increase capacity. Even the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee last year had a bill trying to do, among other things, expanding capacity in the beef sector. So we saw this as a bill that was not just very unpopular from a farmer and rancher perspective, but it's also unpopular within Nazarian's own party, where you see the Democrats trying to, at the state and national level, expand beef capacity. And it would probably be unpopular for consumers, because, of course, any restriction on the development and expansion of CAFOs or any other sector of the industry is going to result in higher beef prices. So this was a pretty unpopular bill all around. That said, you never want to undersell a piece of legislation that's threatening to the industry. So CCA and a number of other agricultural organizations came out in strong opposition to this shortly after it was introduced.
So I've talked about it being a victory. Before we kind of talk about some of the drama surrounding this bill, maybe we should just say where the bill's at and give the good news on that.
That's fair. So not to lift the veil too much on what we're doing behind the scenes here, but you and I are recording this on Friday, the 29th of April. Today is the deadline in the legislature by which any policy bill that has fiscal implications, meaning it has to be considered by the Appropriations Committee. Today is the deadline by which any of those fiscal bills must pass out of their first House's policy committees. So the final Assembly Agriculture Committee hearing before today's deadline was on Wednesday in the Assembly Agriculture Committee. This bill would have had to have been approved by the Assembly Agriculture Committee on Wednesday to still be a viable piece of legislation. It not only was not passed on Wednesday in the Assembly Agriculture Committee, it did not even get a hearing in the Assembly Agriculture Committee because the chair of that committee made it clear that the votes simply weren't there to support Assemblymember Nazarian's proposal. As a result of that bill not passing out of the policy committee by today's deadline, it is functionally dead for this year.
Glad we got touched on that. Now we can go back a little bit, I think, and talk about what it took to get there. So it did not receive a hearing. The bill was, as Kirk mentioned, changed from basically a ban on packing plants and feed yards to it was going to be a study, direct action everywhere. And some of the other supporters were not happy with that. And this was a few weeks ago. Kirk, what are some of the tactics and activity that they used to express their opposition to it being changed to a study? And then just this week to it not even making it on the agenda of the hearing?
Yeah. So first of all, I appreciate you mentioning that Assemblymember Nazarian had intended to make this into a study bill because I failed to mention that. But the compromise that was being considered between the Assembly Ag Committee and Assemblymember Nazarian so that he could still get some bill out on this topic, but not have the devastating impacts that this bill would produce was that, you know, perhaps the legislature could look at doing some kind of study into animal agriculture. DXE and the other sponsors and supporters of this bill were quite unpleased with that, and they made that well known at the Capitol. Let me back up a little bit here. I know our listeners are probably pretty familiar with DXE, but back in February when this bill dropped, I was shocked to see their name as a sponsor of a bill. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is this is a very, you know, radical animal rights group, not one that you see a lot of legislators wanting to tie their name to too closely. That is because they've engaged in criminal activity in the past, doing what they call open rescue and what we call theft of animals from farms and ranches. But also remember that any piece of legislation needs to get passed not only by the legislature, but then signed into law by the governor. And this is a group that's been very antagonistic to Governor Newsom in the past. I think last September, and I could be wrong on the date there, they picketed his personal residence for 3 days. So, you know, it's kind of alarming to see them as a sponsor of a piece of legislation. They behaved sort of the way you would expect them to behave once this announcement came out from Assemblymember Nazarian that he was considering pulling this back into just a study bill. Some of their actions were on the somewhat reasonable side, and by that I mean they held some protests outside of the Capitol, on the north side of the Capitol. They live streamed those on Facebook. That's pretty routine. You see a lot of groups engaging in that kind of protest at the Capitol. Nothing too objectionable about that. But at a prior Assembly Agriculture Committee hearing on April 6th, I believe, during public comment on another bill, because again, 2764 was not up at that hearing, a member of Direct Action Everywhere sat down, not at the public speaker mic, but at the featured witness table, put some super glue into her hand, put it on the table, and then began to filibuster from written remarks. So they actually had to recess that meeting and reconvene in another room. So she completely derailed that entire hearing, which when you're trying to get the legislature on your side so that you can pass a bill later in the session or in future legislative sessions, that kind of showmanship is probably not the way to inure yourself to those legislators.
Yeah, having to have the Capitol Police come in and remove your hand with WD-40, yeah, it's probably something new. It doesn't seem like it worked out. I know there were other groups leading on this as well, but I also know that CCA kind of did take the leadership role on this bill. So I think that's something important also to know is just you guys were leading on it. You're aware of it before it was even introduced, and now it's dead.
This, was a very headline-grabbing, alarming piece of legislation, certainly something we wanted to nip in the bud early on in the legislative session. We came out hard against it, and I'm not surprised that it didn't make it to a first policy committee vote, but I am very pleased that this legislation is dead for the year and we can move on to other legislative priorities.
Speaking of other legislative priorities, you guys are busy on lots of them. You joined me back in January. We sat down and talked about CCA's legislative priorities for this session. And one of those bills you talked about, by the same author, not coincidentally, is a bill around plant-based school meals. Do you have an update on kind of what's happened with that bill in the last 3 months? And maybe just for those that didn't listen to that episode back in January, explain what the bill is.
Yeah, so quick background, AB 558, again by Assemblymember Nazarian, is a bill that seeks to incentivize through financial incentives the provision of plant-based milk alternatives and plant-based meat alternatives in school lunches. This is a proposal that CCA defeated back in 2019 under a different bill number by the same author. This is a bill that we prevented in 2021 from getting a hearing in the Assembly Education Committee, but it was a two-year bill and reared its head this year. I think when last we spoke, this was still on the Assembly side. It did pass out of the Assembly Education Committee and the Assembly Appropriations Committee very early in the session as a two-year bill. It's kind of been languishing on the Senate side since then, because the Senate, of course, has been working on newly introduced 2022 legislation. So that bill right now is in the Senate Rules Committee. It will soon be referred out to the policy committees in the Senate. We have been working to further educate legislators in the Senate side in particular about the problems we see in this bill in the months between February and now, mostly because you don't want to start from zero on the Senate side in June. You want them to know all of the opposition to the bill, all the reasons this is bad policy before it's ever heard in committee. So Jason and I have been working hard to educate legislators on the ills of Assembly Bill 558 well ahead of it being heard in the Senate. But we're also working to make sure that this gets considered not just in the Senate Education Committee, but also in the Senate Agriculture Committee, because of course there are significant agricultural implications of this bill. This is not just a bill that would impact dairy production and beef production in California. It's also a bill that would necessarily, by incentivizing plant-based products, incentivize the importation of pea protein, soy, et cetera, from other countries and other states. So this has significant agricultural impacts in California for California producers. All around, we see many reasons why this is an undesirable bill, and we've been working to educate the Senate well ahead of this being put on their agenda.
As far as this bill, are you seeing the same broad opposition for this bill that you kind of saw for the factory farming bill, or who are you working with on this bill?
This is a bill that I would say, again, CCA and the Western United Dairies are very much in the lead of opposing this bill. It doesn't have quite as much opposition as 2764, just because it's less of a blatant sort of headline-grabbing piece of legislation. But we have been working to broaden out that coalition. We have a number of other agricultural interests, education interests, working with us on defeating this legislation this year. And in terms of, you know, who is in support of it, I mentioned one of the supporters of the what they call anti-factory farm bill 2764 with social compassion and legislation. I believe they're actually the sponsors of 558. So there's a lot of overlap both in the support and the opposition between those two bills.
There's a lot of other things going on in your world in Sacramento, including CCA sponsoring two bills. I think we'll save those for another episode. But if you are interested in reading about the two bills that CCA has sponsored in this session, like I mentioned a little earlier, you can get that information in our legislative bulletins or just call the office and we can point you to the latest updates on both of those bills. Kirk, I really want to thank you for making time on your Friday to chat with us about this on Monday. I think people will be excited to hear about some positive things happening in Sacramento and the good work CCA is doing.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
There is something I wanted to end on in case that wasn't enough positivity for you. Recently, the New York Post published this opinion piece called Americans Are Eating More Beef Than Ever, Despite the Vegan quote unquote trend. It's an opinion piece that's pretty positive to hear if you're a rancher. And here's what it says in part. When it comes to America's legacy of manifest destiny, there's perhaps no meal more symbolic than a bleeding steak. So who are we now that we're consuming less red meat? The paper of record blathered. The only problem is that such claims are 100% baloney, the piece continues to say. Although U.S. consumption of beef fell from about 80 pounds annually per capita in the 1970s and early 80s to a low of 54 pounds in 2017, it's steadily rebounded since then to 58.6 pounds in 2021. I'm going to link that article in the podcast description so you can go read it for yourself. But just a positive note I wanted to end on is that beef consumption is continuing to happen and people like your product. So I'll leave you with that and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to another episode of Sorting Pen. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a brand new episode that's going to be an update on Foothill Abortion. We're going to be talking about the vaccine that's commercially available, how you can get it, and then also talking about the continued research happening on that issue. So we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.